Brad, having shared a hotel room in Boston for the NCS Reuben weekend, I have a really important question for you. Would you say that the most beautiful singing you have ever heard is my singing in the shower? Is that something that you would say is true?
Oh, my God. No, as a matter of fact, I would not. Listen, it's not that your singing is terrible. It's just that you don't remember the lyrics to any of the songs that you're singing. And it sounds like you're completely making them up as you go along. And then you will do 3 key changes in a single stanza. Like, I've never heard people do key changes in the middle of a word. There's no following your musicality.
Oh my God. So me with music is 100% enthusiasm and zero musical knowledge. I don't know how music works. Yeah. I don't know how to function when I'm singing. I have no ability, but God, there's so much enthusiasm. So it's like, especially, it always seems to happen when I get in the shower, so much verve and vigor, but zero musicality. I've got no idea what I'm doing.
No, it's like a third grader with one of those, what do they call it? A recorder? Little whistles that are like flutes. Lots of volume. Oh, now listen, you're second to none on volume. You are standing in second place to nobody when it comes to volume. But lots of enthusiasm. Great enthusiasm. A+ on enthusiasm. Everything else would drive Simon Cowell up the wall.
I just know that I would come out of the shower, right? And I would come out, towel it off kind of thing. And Brad is sitting there. And he just looks up from his phone and he goes, "What were those lyrics?
Yeah.
Those are not the lyrics to Mr. Belvedere's theme song."
And by the way, the theme song to Mr. Belvedere is slaps. It's a great theme. Could you imagine the temerity of somebody saying, "Oh, we're going to have a sitcom. I got your theme song right here. We got Leon Redbone."
Leon Redbone, the biggest swing in terms of like deep-throated basso jazz voice of a burr.
Yeah.
And like, why would you, with a sitcom about a British manservant serving a weird sports guy in Pittsburgh, which, by the way, what a pitch. Mr. Belvedere made not a lick of sense. Why would you go with Leon Redbone and, what was it, saxophone or was it tuba? What was it?
Tuba. I imagine the conversation. We got Leon Redbone. And an executive saying, "Oh yeah, Leon Redbone. Okay, that's a little bit depressing. It's kind of blues. But you're gonna have him backed up by a big jazz band, right? No, tuba, one tuba. We got a tuba player, and Leon Redbone, and that's it."
My wife's big joke about Hollywood in the '90s, when the money was really flowing. Hollywood in the '90s, when the money was flowing, is she's like, so many decisions can be traced back to, "Hey, how do you feel about cocaine?"
"I've got an idea for a sitcom. Let's do coke about it."
So anyway, I come out and Brad is like, "Those were not the lyrics to Mr. Belvedere."
Oh.
And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "The lyrics to Mr. Belvedere are, what is it?
It starts out, streaks on the china, never mattered at all. Who cares? And you are in there singing, "Boots on the table, never met him at all." And I'm like, "What? Whose boots? Is this Boots Randolph we're talking about? Whose boots on the table? Puss in Boots?" And by the way, if you're ever sharing a hotel room with Dave Kellett, don't complain about the song he's singing, because it's not that he stops. He doesn't stop. Dave doesn't stop. He just switched songs. And I heard "Tiny Bubbles" by Don Ho for the rest of the week.
And also, I will be straight up honest. I do not know the lyrics to "Tiny Bubbles."
Really?
I have never known the lyrics.
It's so nice to hear you admit that. Really? You don't know the right words, don't you?
Here's the thing, Brad. Here's the thing. I don't know that I've actually physically heard the song "Tiny Bubbles" in 20 years.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Really? It's hard to tell from here. I had no idea that you had never heard that song.
So I don't know. And so I'm in the shower just going, "Tiny Bubbles."
Oh my God.
And I come out and Brad goes, I come out of the shower and Brad's like, "What the f-?" hell was that voice? What was the song? What was the musicality? None of that was how Tiny Bubbles is actually sung.
And it sounded like Tiny Baubles, but he was doing. You haven't found, and maybe you need to be in the shower. The voice that you were putting on this it sounded like a sleepy lounge singer, like at 3 o'clock in the morning in Vegas.
Yes.
And a
you
tiny
compared
bubbles.
It to Dr. Zoidberg. You said I was Dr. Zoidberg singing.
It sounded very much like Zoidberg. It was a very Zoidberg-like sound. And by the way, you know how the Tiny Bubbles, the song has like 4 or 5 verses? Not in Dave Kellett album, not in the Discovery. It just has one line that gets repeated over and over. Tiny Bubbles. Tiny Bubbles.
Because you're shampooing and then you're like rinse and then back to Tiny Bubbles. Yeah. And then the soap comes out and then Tiny Bubbles. Yeah. And then, you know, you kind of just turn around and enjoy the hot water for a minute, back to Tiny Bubbles. Yeah. You don't need other lyrics, Brad.
By the way, it's not like the lyrics to the actual Tiny Bubbles is confusing. It's not like remembering Bohemian Rhapsody. It's got 4 lines. Tiny Bubbles in the wine makes me happy, makes me feel fine. There's no Scaramouche in there at all.
And on that note of unwarranted musical abuse, I'm going to say hello, everybody, and welcome to Comic Lab, the show about singing beautifully and making comics.
And if you want to complain about unwarranted musical abuse, you should have been sitting out in the room with me and making a living from comics. I'm Brad Geiger, the author of the Webcomics Handbook and the creator of Evil Inc.
It didn't help that when I would come out, your glasses would be pushed way down on your nose because you were reading your phone. So it looks so judgy. So judgy. Anyway, I'm his friend Dave Kellett, the cartoonist of Drive and Sheldon and the co-director of the documentary Stripped.
And this week's Hour of Comics Advice is made possible by your support at patreon.com/comiclab. So Dave, let's talk comics.
Let's talk comics, my friend, and with a mighty Tiny Bubbles. I'm going to say...
Listen, I had to push my glasses down on my nose to read the phone. It's the only way I could see the numbers for the support group that I was going to dial in another 5 seconds if I had to put up with this for another minute.
Today, gang, we have a very special show for you because we are going to really revel in the enjoyment that was the NCS Reuben weekend in Boston. This past week over in August 2025 for those listening way in the future. And what the Reuben weekend is, Brad, well, I'll have Brad describe it. Brad, what is Reuben weekend? What is it all about?
It's a lot of fun. It's the annual conference and Reuben Awards for the National Cartoonist Society. And although you often hear Dave and I both refer to it as the Reuben weekend, it actually starts on Thursday and they go like Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning. It's kind of like the end of the week. It's a ton of fun. And they'll have programs on the first day. Dave and I had a live Comic Lab show on that Thursday. We're going to tell you all about that. And as a matter of fact, you heard it on the previous episode. If you've been listening along. Friday, they've got a bunch of more programs and stuff. They have the annual meeting. Friday night, Reuben Awards. Black tie event, really handled well. One of the best awards, like, anywhere. Like, Karen Evans.
It was a tight program.
Holy moly. Everything kept snapping along. Everything went bang, 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 bang. A lot of fun. Great awards handed out. We'll tell you all about that. And then Saturday morning is the farewell brunch. Everybody meets down in the hotel for brunch, and there's goodbyes and a lot of sketching going on, a lot of original art changing hands. And then everybody pretty much heads out to their airports and train stations and parking lots. And it's another one in the books. And Dave and I were saying, our hearts were so full at the end of this week. We're like, we've got so many stories. I think we're probably going to end up devoting the show to just remembering the NCS Conference and Reuben Awards.
Absolutely. And let's give a couple bits of credit, a huge credit to Karen Evans and the board of the NCS that does all the planning and the heavy lifting to make this happen. It is not an easy thing. It's like planning a wedding, basically, to have to do this. And keeping in mind that they are volunteering for it.
Right.
Nobody's getting paid in the NCS. It's an all-volunteer board, all-volunteer chapter chairs and presidency. So a huge thank you to everybody in the NCS that did all the legwork for this. And people like Jason Chatfield and John Kowaleski, and I don't remember who the videographer was for the awards because that came out fantastic.
Yeah.
But so Brad, let's start at the beginning. So We gave a talk in the beautiful Boston Public Library, which is filled with munificence, I would say. Wouldn't you say it's filled with munificence?
Well, it was written right there on top of the Boston Public Library that this was due to their munificence. And we're like, munificence? Wasn't she the one that was always trying to get Snow White with the apple? We had no idea what munificence was.
And God forbid we use the phones that were in our pocket, but we had like a 20-minute try to, we were trying to reverse engineer the Latin of munificence.
Yeah.
Neither one of us looked
it
up.
And by the way, we didn't come within a country mile of the actual meaning of the
sure
word.
We sure didn't.
We
completely Boy, you would like to think with diction like ours, we would know it. Nope, we didn't know it. Yep. We got munificence totally wrong. But anyway, the public library, which was built with the munificence of the public, was gorgeous. And so we did our wonderful talk to the gathered grouping of the NCS, and we had three wonderful panelists, and it was a beautiful setting, probably one of the more beautiful settings we've ever done a talk in.
And
the audio, thanks to our kissing cousins of the audio engineers.
Well, I hope they're not cousins.
I hope they're not cousins, but boy, they sure were right on the edge of kissing.
Oh, my goodness.
Arch, we had two college-age, I think we said this before, but two college-age audio engineers. And oh, my God, was the flirting, but it was nerdy flirting, if you know what I mean, Brad?
Yeah.
Where they're both shy and both nerdy, but both clearly had the hots for each other. So, God, it was delightful to be in that audio booth.
And not for nothing. I mean, I hope it works out. They were kind of a cute couple. They were really nice together.
They were. Yeah. They would have a delightful nerdy life. And I can imagine their D&D games would be delightful and cute. And so I wish all the best to them.
Yeah. And we got there. We got into the auditorium, and it was another one of those things. Every time we've walked into an auditorium, it's like, oh man, are we going to fill this place? You know, is it gonna be full? Because I mean, that's really what you want, and it's going to make the audio sound good if there's a lot of people laughing and carrying on. And the problem is that this event was at the public library, which was across the street from the hotel, down a block or so. And like you had to go through this long circuitous route through the Boston Public Library,
past the bar
in the Boston Public Library. Which I was like, oh God, none of these people are gonna be able to pass that up. They're gonna stop at the bar and stay. Yeah, but then, like a few minutes before our show was scheduled to go on, the doors open, and evidently, like they had walked across like a tour group, like you know those tour groups you see with the person in the front with the flag.
Oh yeah, is that what they did? I didn't know that. Okay, because all of a sudden they all came in, all like 300 of them.
Somebody led them like Moses across the Red Sea. And they come in and, oh my gosh, did we ever fill that auditorium? It was really nicely full, and the lights go down and we start, and just out of, I don't know, a weird thought that went through our heads, we were like, hey, out of curiosity, how many of you here are here for your first NCS conference and Reuben Awards? How many for you is this the first time? And oh my gosh, all these people stood up. I want to say, I want to say it was between 20 and 30, somewhere in there.
It was a lot. You might be right. It was a lot. You know, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard on stage to gauge because the lights. I don't know if
you're looking into the lights.
For folks that have been on stage, you're kind of looking at bright lights. And so sometimes you can only read halfway through the audience. But yeah, it might have been 30 new people. And I don't know if you noticed this, Brad, but in the cocktail hour and at the Reuben Awards and at the breakfast the next day, a lot of those new 30 said they joined the NCS because of Comic Lab, which meant a lot to me. And I was like, oh, that's fantastic.
A lot. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to put the membership information in the show notes today, because after you hear us talking about this, you're going to want to show up at the next one, which is in early August. I think it's that first week in August in Columbus, Ohio. They're going to have a bunch of stuff with the Billy Ireland Cartoon Museum. It's going to be you just right now, put it on your calendar.
And it's the 80th, Brad. It's the 80th anniversary of the NCS getting together and having the Reuben Awards. So it's going to be the 80th award. It's going to be at the Billy Ireland, which is probably the preeminent cartoon museum in the world. Yes. I've been to most of the big ones, and Billy Ireland by far is the classiest and most gorgeous comics museum. And they will just have finished redoing the museum, because they're going to be beginning that in the beginning of this year.
They had a renovation.
So it's going to be great.
Yeah. And so we did our show, which you heard in the previous episode. And I got to tell you, it was gangbusters. we had things going at a real good clip. There was no dead air. There was no pauses. It was just, and Dave and I are passionate about doing that on a live show where we keep things going. Boom, boom, boom. Conversations, we're shooting back and forth. And we're talking about the theme of our show was money. You know, how are you monetizing? How are you making a career? How are you making your business as a cartoonist work? And we had three wonderful points of view, all kinds of different walks of life, using different platforms, having different levels of success, some trial and error, everybody sharing mm-hmm. very freely. Yep. And we were
kind to each other, too. Oh, wasn't that lovely to have so panelists good. That were like deferential and friendly and welcoming and yes anding? Yeah. I really appreciated how lovely they all were.
And I really feel as if everybody had a chance to talk. You know, I wanted to make sure everybody really felt like they had a chance to share what was on their mind. And we shared a lot of information about what's going on in comics today.
And I will say, the NCS to a T afterward was so kind with their words. They were like,
yes,
boy, you and Brad are like an old married couple. You guys just know, you know, one another's beats. You were bing, bang, boom. Yeah. And every time Brad and I were like, oh, thank you. And I would always say, well, you should see me coming out of the shower. We're not so much an old married couple then as Brad looks down at me from his glasses. But Brad,
everybody was nice. Not everybody was kind in their comments. Do you remember that one guy?
Okay. Yes. So, gang, I want you to know that I would like to think, Brad, that I am rarely catty. Wouldn't you say that I'm rarely catty?
Rarely, if ever, catty.
I usually try to stay optimistic and beep, bop, boop, and the life is great. And hey, look at the sun. And oh, hey, a free flower for me. I'm usually that personality. But I don't know why. One cartoonist came up to me the next morning. Oh, you know what it was? I hadn't had coffee yet. He comes up to me the next morning. And Brad and I are standing there, and there's another cartoonist standing with us. And the cartoonist goes, hey, great talk yesterday. And I go, oh, thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And he goes, yeah, you know, midway, I kind of fell asleep. But at the end, I woke back up and really, really great talk. Really great talk. And I took a beat. And I don't know why I had to take umbrage with this in a way that I would normally just slough it off and who cares.
Yeah.
But I go, you know what's fun? It's fun to not express every thought that comes into our heads. We can just keep some thoughts to ourselves. That's a fun game to play. You know, not every thought that comes in has to be said out loud. Sometimes it's fun just to keep it for yourself.
I think at one point, did you say this or did I imagine it where you said this would have been a fun conversation if you would have stopped after the first sentence?
I did say that.
You didn't have to go on. You could have stopped at the first sentence.
Yeah.
And this would have been an enjoyable interaction.
There were strong enough stage lights. I couldn't see you in the audience. Yeah, I never needed to know that you fell asleep in the middle.
There's nothing we can do about if you fall asleep. Yeah. You know, we weren't going to run out into the audience and shake you. You know, we did the best show that we could do. It was a fantastic. You heard it in the last episode. It was great.
But anyway,
he has to say he fell asleep.
So that was just Dave Kellett being a catty little jerk about like, you know what? Some thoughts we could keep to ourselves. Some thoughts, it's fun. It's fun to have a little voice that we could just talk to in our heads. That became a little Susan McTaggarty there.
I was just going to say, that's the other delightful thing is, you know how many people came up wondering when Susan McTaggart was going to make an appearance?
They did.
It was the most requested Comic Lab related thing from the entire week. We must have had close to a dozen people asking about how Susan McTaggart is, whether she's going to show up. Susan McTaggart is like unofficially the third star of this show.
When people came up to you and asked that, what did you respond? What did you tend to say?
I always said the same thing. I said, I keep expecting her to, but very rarely will you find her and Dave in the same room.
Because I kept saying flights here were so expensive. We couldn't afford three. It was bad enough to get two. But that was delightful.
Yeah.
So we do the show. And by the way, our panel was followed by the really amazing cartoonist that Brad and I had grown up with.
Yeah.
Barbara Brandon Croft, the cartoonist of Where I'm Coming From, who I believe was the first ever Black female syndicated cartoonist, which was also a damn delight. Just an incredible public speaker. So warm, so delightful, paid so much wonderful homage to her dad, which I found. I'm getting to the age there where anybody pays homage to their parents. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. Yeah. I love
it. What a thoughtful daughter.
Oh, what a beautiful, thoughtful dog. Barbara, you're amazing. Anyway, and I got a chance, and I think Brad did too, to go up and talk to her and tell her how amazing her body of work was and how thankful we were for basically what she taught us in cartooning. She basically showed an entirely new format of cartooning with Where I'm Coming From. So in terms of the direct address, heavy on the head presentation, it's just a great way to present a comic. Anyway, so Barbara was a delight.
Yeah, she was fantastic. And of course, the reason that she was talking about her father was her father was a syndicated cartoonist as well.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So and she talked about how that relationship affected her journey into comics. And I went up and because I genuinely remember reading her stuff when I was in college, because I had a subscription to the Detroit Free Press, which carried her comic. One of the first ones, by the way, that carried her comic. And I said, I remember seeing your work. And I remember it was so different than anything else that I had seen. Because like Dave said, it's just faces and lettering. And it's a one-sided conversation between the character and the reader, where the character is basically either addressing the reader directly or having a conversation that the reader is listening in on. And it was just these faces, and it was so a little bit challenging to what my perception of comics, but I was so happy to be broadened by the experience of reading her stuff.
Absolutely.
Because it opened up an entire new vista. She just was such a nice person. And all of the, along the way, she in her slideshow, she was talking about some of the other Black cartoonists that had worked with her father or that she had known.
Really.
And it was like, oh my gosh, and all these people that she had known. Absolutely wonderful for her to take time and give us an exhaustive list of all of that in her history. Just one of the nicest moments of that entire week.
Yeah, my heart was very full. Is one way to say it after hearing her talk. She was a delightful person. Can I tell you? I regret it, but I was wanting to fanboy the next day at breakfast and ask her for a sketch, and I didn't, and I'm a little bit regretting of it, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be said, Brad.
Not everything has to be a sketch.
Yeah, not everything. But to Barbara, we say a huge thank you because it was a beautiful speech and a beautiful body of work. And by the way, and in thanks to her, I should mention, she has a beautiful collection of her work now out from Drawn and Quarterly. You're going to want to search for Where I'm Coming from Drawn and Quarterly, and that is out, I think, in the last 6 to 18 months, if I'm not mistaken.
Very new.
Beautiful book too, so you'll want to go look for that. But also after our talk, because we were, how would you describe it? We were basically trying to say how quick the world is changing and how old patterns of cartooning are having to adapt, and how these new modern methods of TikTok and Substack and Patreon and Kickstarter and all these things.
Yeah,
and at the Rubin Award, Brad, we also got kind of a surprise callback to our talk by Rick Kirkman of Baby Blues, the fantastically talented cartoonist of Baby Blues, and I was delighted.
So he's one of the presenters, and by the way, they only have the best people presenting up there, but he was one of the presenters.
Oh, don't you do that. Hold on. We're pausing right there for a second. Don't you say they only have the best people, you son of a bitch. So here's what happened. So as often happens with conferences that have award shows, Karen Evans, the president of the NCS, at one point comes up to Brad and goes, Brad, we'd love you to present up on stage. And Brad goes, oh, sure. And she gives him the card saying, like, here's what we're going to ask you to do, and here's the awards you're going to be giving out. Brad's like, happy to do it. I'll make up some lines to say in front. I'll have a few jokes ready. Yeah. I'm ready to go. She walks away, and I go, what the? What? Am I chopped liver? What happened to Dave Kellen? Why doesn't Dave Kellen get to present an award? I'm good on my feet. I can talk in front of a microphone. And so I made such hay out of this all weekend because Brad got asked to talk and I did not. So don't you lord that over me, you jerk. Oh, all the best people got to present awards.
Oh, God, that was fun. So
had you said something about my singing to Karen? Is that what it was? Maybe she had the room next to ours.
That
I don't know.
A non-zero chance that I mentioned your singing, yes. Rick Kirkman was going to present an award, and we see him walking up on stage, and he's got a dinosaur mask over his head and dinosaur claws, like gloves that made his hands look like velociraptors. And he walked up to the microphone and he said, I just got done listening to the Comic Lab show. I watched their live stage show the other day. And I listened to Dave Kellett and Brad Geiger on Comic Lab. And I figured, hey, I might as well dress like what I feel like right now, which was a dinosaur.
It was like a dinosaur.
And he got a big laugh with it. You know, it was fantastic. He went on to present the awards. And so later, after the award ceremony was over, they awarded the Best Cartoonist Award to Mark Parisi, who I'm personally a big fan of. And I was very happy to see Mark win his award. But we ran over to Rick. We said, please, can we have a picture with you with the dinosaur? That was such a great thing. That was amazing. And so because I know her a little bit, I know her well enough to walk up to her because I've been out to the Blazek house a couple of times for jurying. And so Dave Blazek's wife was standing right there. And I go, oh, please, can you take this picture? And then, of course, there's so much stuff going on. That poor woman spent the next 10, 15 minutes with a camera saying, would you guys please get up and pose?
But can we were waiting. Jerks, just take your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Poor, we talk about one, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. But she got some beautiful shots of us with Rick Kirkman.
Did Rick tell you how he went and got the, after our talk, how he went and got the dinosaur? Okay, so he's like, so I looked around for stores in downtown Boston that would carry dinosaur masks and dinosaur equipment. Of course, there's nothing in downtown Boston. Why would there be?
Yeah.
So he goes, so I went on to Amazon, tried to order it to my hotel room.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it because he's got basically 24 hours before he needs it for to go on stage. Amazon couldn't deliver it. They said 2 days, 3 days. He tried different ways of doing it. He eventually, Brad, had to order it from Uber Eats.
And no,
Uber Eats
really?
Brought him. Yes, that's what he used, Uber Eats, to get the dinosaur outfit. And so I was thoroughly charmed by Rick. And so I thank him so much. And by the way, absolutely delightful human being. And hopefully we can get him to come on the show because the next day we sat and talked and sketched. He gave Brad a beautiful sketch for Baby Blues. I, by the way, in the past have gotten one from Rick. So it's not like he didn't give me one. But he gave a beautiful sketch to Brad of Baby Blues. And anyway, just a delightful human being. And we were super grateful. We also got a chance to have lunch with Greg Evans. And... I will say this, Greg Evans of Luann, Brad and I go out to lunch with Greg Evans, who is a delight.
Well, we're sitting
talking
to him and we're like, hey, we're going to go out for lunch. You want to? And he's, and we all decide, hey, let's go together. Well, the three of us will go to lunch. Now the question is, where do you want to go?
And so Brad goes, hey, I got the perfect spot. I think because you rolled into Boston before I did. Oh, yeah. No, you wouldn't have had breakfast because
there earlier that day. I had a great breakfast.
By the way, downtown Boston, no shortage of bars and restaurants. No shortage. A lot of opportunities.
It's slapping over with good places to have lunch.
Slapping over with good places to eat. Brad goes, I got the place. It's a short, brisk 15-minute walk in 92-degree heat.
It was a 4-minute walk. And I said, now listen. I like a hole in the wall. I like a cozy little mom and pop restaurant. That's my kind of place. I like a dive. I like a hole in the wall.
Listen, so if you're not up
for
that,
we'll go and we'll look for something else. But I said, this is what we're in for.
I love a hole in the wall too. Unfortunately, what we got was just the hole. So we sit down at one table and we're looking at the menu and I go, anybody else smell bleach? Is there a lot of bleach smell? And then I realize we're right next to the storage closet that all restaurants have.
Yeah.
And so I go, you know what? No big deal. It's a seat yourself kind of place. Let's just move over to the other end of the restaurant. We all get up. Greg goes, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll sit over here. Let's sit over here. We sit down on the far end of the restaurant. Nope. Still smells like bleach. And gang, if there's ever some smell that you want when you're about to eat, let me just recommend good old-fashioned Mama's Bleach. Ah, yes, bleach. The scent that makes you hungry and wants to consume food. Bleach. Since 1842, bleach.
Yeah. So I look at the menu. There's lots of great stuff on the menu. It was a fantastic menu. I love this menu. And I was all tasted up for chicken quesadilla. So yeah, I order a chicken quesadilla.
Let me tell you, if there's one place in the world that does Mexican food well, Boston is the place where you want to go for Mexican. I say that as a Los Angelino. Nobody does Mexican food better than Boston.
So then Dave goes...
It's like going for lobster Creole in Arizona. You're like, oh boy, nobody does lobster better than Phoenix.
Well, speaking of being in lobster, I'm all tasted up for a lobster roll I've been hearing about from my wife for a year, and I hear Dave Kellett doesn't like seafood.
I hate seafood. I hate it. So, yeah,
so
poor
then
Brad.
Dave's like, it throws up his hands. He's done with this menu. He goes, well, I guess I'll get the chicken quesadilla too. And then Greg, this is when I knew I was in trouble. Greg goes, yeah, I just make it three chicken quesadillas. And I'm like, these people hate me for my decision. This was a horrible decision I made. This was terrible.
So we have a lovely shop talk lunch where we're talking business, we're talking drawing, we're talking book production, we're talking comics production on different software platforms, we're talking Greg's wonderful 40-year career.
Yeah.
And Brad is talking into this chicken quesadilla. Let me just tell you, have you ever had it where all three people are talking at equal amounts, but for somehow one of them has finished their lunch like 40 minutes earlier than everybody else? So Brad's over there doing the kind of thing where he's like taking the last of the bread and wiping the plate, you know, like, don't mind me. And I had finished two of my four quesadilla slices, and honest to God, I was full, and it was fine. It was a perfectly fine quesadilla. Listen, it's cheese and chicken and a tortilla. How hard could it be to mess up? And so I'm like, hey, Brad, you want the rest of my tortilla? And Brad goes, oh, boy, do I, and reaches over. Brad's tucking in on quesadilla number two, and Greg, who is also not finished, goes, do you want my quesadilla? And Brad's like, I'm no fool. I'll have a third quesadilla. So Greg and I are like, I mean, listen, it was lunch. It was food. It's fine. Brad's over there going, oh boy, this was quite the lunch.
Oh, I actually felt horrible walking back because I could tell you guys did not enjoy your food, but man, I was full.
Brad, listen, nothing sells me on lunch like the smell of cleaning supplies. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, you knew it wasn't a dirty place, so they couldn't have had a germ within 10 blocks of that place.
Yeah. Hey, gang, if you're listening while you work, take a minute to stand and stretch.
And while you're doing that, we'll tell you why you should join us on Patreon.
Yeah, because when you do, you'll get hours and hours of podcasts that we've recorded just for backers.
And exclusive Patreon posts that go even deeper on Comic Lab topics.
And you'll get access to our exclusive Discord server, a thriving community of professional cartoonists.
So you can support the show you love and get tons of actionable resources for your own cartooning.
And ho Nelly, if you want even more comics goodness in your life, check out the new drawing show that we're doing with our pal Kevin McShane over at wrongwayshow.com. That's wrongwayshow.com.
In each episode, we'll show you how to draw your favorite cartoon characters the wrong way.
Now, everybody, let's talk comics. But anyway, so the weekend, the big event of the weekend is the Reuben Awards. And I'll be honest, I have come to a certain amount of peace, Brad, that in my long career, of which, God willing, I'm only midway through, I don't know that I will ever be nominated for a Reuben Award, which is the big enchilada. You know, Brad, enchiladas, they're huge in Boston.
Do I love an enchilada?
No, but the Reuben Award, which is the big enchilada, I don't know that anybody that's not a syndicated comic strip cartoonist, I mean, I know they occasionally get nominated, but if you're not a syndicated comic strip cartoonist, I don't know that you get nominated for the Reuben Award.
I wonder about that all the time, because I also, as much as I agree with that, I also wonder if the NCS isn't going to change as that group of people, A, number one, die, and as the industry dies. I think pretty soon there's not going to be a whole lot of syndicated cartoonists to choose from.
Yeah, I will tell you that I personally hope for this in the marketplace of ideas, which is the huge story in comics for the last decade has been YA graphic novels.
Yes.
And I love people like Cassidy joining the NCS, because Cassidy's a damn delight and also super talented, but also because she represents a whole new vanguard of cartoonists that are like, no, I want to do what Raina does and I want to make graphic novels. And I would love, if you're listening to this and are a graphic YA novelist, boy, consider joining the NCS, because I personally would love it. The NCS would love it. And we need your voices in that group. It's such an important part of what cartooning is now that I would love it myself. But I will say this to you, Brad, as a friend, that if I die before you and you're still going to the NCS and for some reason you're like, I want to give Dave Kellett a posthumous award for his cartooning.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now, don't you dare ever give me an award after I'm dead.
Yeah.
Don't you dare do it. I don't know what it is about posthumous awards, but I get frustrated and mad about them. Yeah. I'm like,
I could
give
see
that
you...
GD award to them when they're living. Why did you give it to them when they're dead? It's like, oh, Grandpa would have loved this award. Yeah, you know what?
As a matter of fact,
Grandpa would have loved this award.
Yeah. Well, that was the other part of that conversation is I was thinking, you know, I don't know that we're going to get a Reuben Award, but I almost wonder if, like, at some point, if when we're old in our 80s, we get one of those not having died yet awards.
Hey, look, Brad Geiger's got a walker. You know what? Let's give him an award.
But that's, you know, like Cy Berry got won the Elsie Seeger Award. And he said the same thing that you were kind of just hinting at is, where were you 30 years ago?
Well, yeah, I mean,
he didn't say it in those words, but he said
jokingly
it
and lovingly
politely,
said it. I would have loved to get this 30 years ago. But he was 97.
97 maybe I have is correct.
What a delightful human being and what a delightful career of great merit and worthiness. And I'm so glad that he got the Elsie Seeger Award.
Yeah.
But I delighted in the, I would have loved this 30 years ago. It's such a human response to, like, you know, when I was working, I would have loved this. But so if you, Brad, I'm going to tell you this now. I'm going to haunt you from the grave. If you sign me up for a posthumous award, don't you dare do it. I don't want it. And I don't want my grandkids dragged up on stage and be like, Grandpa would have loved this.
What are you going to do? You're going to be a ghost. What are you going to do if that happens?
I will pee in your wine with ectoplasm. I don't know what I don't know what abilities I'll have.
As long as it doesn't smell like bleach.
But I will say, though, that I personally have such delight and great hope for the next phase of the NCS. Because as we were just saying, it's turning its 80th year.
Yeah.
And I noticed, with the new 25 or 30 new people that joined this year, it is it's a different crowd, wouldn't you say, of cartoonists?
It's a younger group of people. So many people came up and said that they loved Comic Lab. They were longtime listeners and had so many nice things to say about the show. Of course, a lot of them looking for Susan McTaggart. But it was really kind of wonderful to see how many people are joining the NCS and our Comic Lab listeners. And in other words, our community is kind of spreading there too. Whereas if you join the NCS, it's another good way to keep in touch with your Comic Lab friends outside of Discord and stuff like that is you can see them at NCS events. And of course, the NCS has a whole lot more than just that one weekend that they get together. They've got chapter meetups. They've got online events that you can get special, ticket pricing. In other words, you get free tickets for things that might be an otherwise ticketed event. And there's lots of chances to kind of get that camaraderie all year round with your chapters.
Wait, side note, did you introduce an extra vowel in camaraderie?
Camaraderie. Camaraderie. It's camaraderie.
So am I saying it wrong if I said camaraderie?
I think you're truncating it. It's camaraderie is not it's camaraderie.
Camaraderie sounds like you're tripping downstairs. Camaraderie. Bum, 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 bum. Camaraderie.
Sounds like something you need
to me. Camaraderie.
It sounds like something that would be a heart condition. Oh, did you hear about Grandpa? He's got a camaraderie.
It's the left valve.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy. He's got camaraderie. So thankfully he doesn't have duoraderie, but he's got the camaraderie, and that's, they're going to have to go in with the suture. Yeah. So that's, anyway, that munificence, boy, we've had quite a week of language, but anyway, no, it is about camaraderie, and God damn it. I can't say it right. So, and I will say this too, if you are under 27 years old and a pro-am or a pro-cartoonist, you can also join the NCS as what they have called the 27 Club, where for $27, you're in. And that's it. $27, that's the cost of a lunch. Oh. And so, boy, do I recommend it, because it's a great way to network. Meet your heroes and peers if you're under 27. But also, there are associate memberships for folks that maybe are not full-time pros. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously professional regular members. There's trade memberships for things like that, if you're in printing or publishing or marketing or agent work. So reach out to Brad and I. We are happy to direct you on where to go. We'll probably put it in the show notes on membership, on to joining. And I will say this. It used to be, as Brad and I would say, like, what do you get for the money for the NCS?
Yes,
and
that was always my big thing, is what am I getting for my money?
That they have changed in recent years, and boy howdy, is it worth the money. Brad's taken advantage of it. I've taken advantage of it. Is free tabling at massive conventions around the country. There's WonderCon, San Diego Con, New York Comic Con. I think they do one in Philly, Brad. Didn't they do one in Philly?
Well, the one they did in Philly, we really need to talk about, because this is where somebody started thinking outside of the box. And I give major props. One of the Philadelphia chapter people is Rich Green. And I know he was in the beginning of this. And then Jamar Nicholas, who did a ton of work to make this happen, they got a 20 by 30 foot footprint at the American Library Association conference.
Such a good idea.
A whole free, convention
by the way, free.
Center.
The ALO gave it to the NCS free, which is great.
Yeah. And a full convention center full of people who love books. It was it was such great outside of the box thinking.
And in general, the ALA friendship with the NCS is building. So there are going to be, they put up during the general meeting, they do one business meeting every NCS weekend for all the, you know, all the professional members. Anyway, at the general meeting, Jamar put a slide up on the PowerPoint. And I think, Brad, I'm kind of throwing a dart, but there was somewhere between 4 and 6 upcoming ALA appearances, weren't there, that the NCS is going to be appearing at? Or do I have that wrong?
You're right on the right track. For sure, we've already, because this one went so well in Philly, and because they, like I said, Rich and Jamar did all that legwork, we're already asked to come back to the next one, which is going to be in Chicago next year. So if you're in the Chicago area.
Oh, that's what it was. They were listing out the future year shows, the annual meetings.
Yeah.
But I personally would also like to reach out to the NCS and say, let's hook up with the California ALA and the Texas ALA and the Jersey ALA, all the big state ones, you know, because each state has its own ALA meetings. Those are also huge. I mean, the Texas ALA meeting is apparently one of the biggest damn things in the country. So anyway, I want to say a huge shout out to Jamar and the board for making that happen. And as inspiration for that, Brad, I haven't told you this. Yesterday, I reached out to Worldcon, which is the big sci-fi convention, which this year is going to be happening in Anaheim. And I said, listen, you have a perfect synchronicity of mutual appreciation societies between NCS and Worldcon. Worldcon's the big sci-fi convention. And I said, listen, you've got Phil Folio, you've got Dave Kellett, you've got Sean Wong, you've got a bunch of cartoonists that do sci-fi. Yeah. Give us a 20-foot table, we'll be there, and it'll be a whole value add for all the Worldcon folks. So knock on wood, this is something we can expand on. Anyway, the point being, for the membership cost of joining the NCS, those free tabling things, Brad has used it, I've used it, it pays for itself in no time.
That was always my thing about the NCS back in the day. This goes back 10 years ago. I would always say, what do I get for my dues money? What do I get for my money? And they would always say the same thing. Well, Brad, that depends on what you put into it. And I'm like, you're not selling me here. This is not how this conversation's supposed to work. You know, you don't go to buy a new car and say, hey, what's the mileage on this car? Well, that depends on what you put into it, Brad. No, I want to know what the mileage. So was always the big thing with me, is I was a member for a while and I wasn't getting any value for my money. So I stopped being a member for a long time.
Well, I'll be honest, in the beginnings of our lifetime, and definitely in the 1960s, 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
The NCS was more of a drinking club fraternity for guys whose biggest decision was like which driver to use out on the golf course this week.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And no harm to it. They were all very wealthy, and syndication was a golden goose, and it was great. But what's nice is the NCS is slowly transmogrifying into a group of not journeyman cartoonists, because that's not the right word, but like folks that are have to wear many hats, and and their cartooning juggles many business aspects. And I'm here for it, frankly. I think it's a delightful, more interesting, more dynamic group. And I want more of what we are seeing at the NCS, which is great, which is brass tacks. Here's how you improve your business. Here's how you work in your business. Those are the things at the NCS weekends that I love.
Yeah. And I will say this, just as we're wrapping this part of the topic up, is that I've made my money back and then some on my NCS membership with NCS events, like tabling at the ALA. They had a show earlier in the year. I've made my, I finally have the right answer to what do I get for my money? Right.
Yes.
And part of that is free table space at different conventions and a group of people who are now thinking outside of the box. This ALA opened a lot of people's eyes to some, because obviously you go to comic conventions. No, duh. Of course you do. But all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got to start thinking about those conventions where we might be the only cartoonist or the only comics artist on in the entire convention center.
Yes. Yes. And so that's why I'm really excited for Worldcon. I think they will follow up, knowing them. They're a very fun group. I'm also, Brad, I got to figure out how to reach out to them. But boy, if there's any listeners that know a contact, I want to reach out to the American Kennel Club, because boy, are there a lot of cartoonists that do dog books or dog related strips or dog things. And God, I think that would also be a match made in heaven.
Yes.
So I think I'll say that out loud. If anybody's got a contact with the AKC, drop me a line, dave@davekellett.com, because I would love to get there for a bunch of cartoonists. And so anyway, the one thing too about the NCS that's lovely is cartoonists that you see from a distance, but you would never get a chance to meet. So there is a cartoonist by the name, and I might pronounce it wrong with apologies, it's a pen name, but Liniers, I think, Brad, L-I-N-I-E-R-S. And Liniers has, honest to God, one of the most delightful bits of energy. You just, you in seeing him talk publicly, in seeing him across the room and in interacting with him, just a damn delight of a human being. I was immediately like, I'm thoroughly charmed by this human. I want to know this human. I want to meet this human. And we've got to get him on the show at some point, because Argentinian cartoonist, incredibly talented in line work and color work. And I will say that has the energy of Mike Peters from Mother Goose and Grimm, which is just
a lot
unstoppable
of energy.
Yeah. With the charm and warmth of Sergio Aragonés, who is one of, you know, everyone's favorite cartoonists in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm so bummed I didn't get a chance to meet Liniers, and I just want to meet him and I want to have him on the podcast, because God, what a damn delight of a human being.
Well, that's kind of the neat thing about the NCS is you show up and you see a person like that. And it's like, oh my gosh, I've seen your work here and there. And now I get a chance to you know, meet this person, find out they seem like a very sweet individual. And then there's the opportunities to see people that we see like every once in a while or every year at these events. And we're looking, that's part of the reason that we're looking forward, because we knew that we're going to see somebody like Dee Fish and her wife, Heidi, right?
Yeah, delightful.
And it's absolutely another delightful chance to see Dee and Heidi and talk to them. And always a wonderful conversation, very sweet people. But I didn't realize just how fast Dee was at doing what she does. She's a faster, like she is Lar D'Souza fast. And just like Lar, puts out gorgeous work in a ridiculously short amount of time.
The line work that Dee was putting down, she's so fast. And she did a beautiful caricature of Brad and I, and then a separate one of me for me.
Yeah.
And God damn it. It was great. Captured likeness immediately.
Yeah.
But also the line work was beautiful and felt like it took her 4 seconds to do. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Like that drawing would have taken me an hour and a half. And so I also say, too, that what's fun is Jason Chatfield of New York Cartoons, who you can find on Substack, also, unlike Dave Kellett, got asked to speak up on stage. And he was also just a damn delight of a public speaker like Liniers on stage. He's just so good. He had a tight five, Brad, up on stage.
He was so smooth. And I was coming up after him. So I was off to the stage left, sitting down just off screen. And he was up there getting laughs and laughs and laughs. And I'm sitting there like I hadn't planned like a whole lot in terms of because I wanted to keep it to a short introduction because this was a really tight show. And I'm like, Oh, my God, I've got to follow that guy. And it's you know how it is when you like you could be perfectly fine, but you follow somebody who's really great. And you know that you just look twice as bad because of the comparison. I went out there and I'm sweating through my tuxedo because I've got to follow Jason Chatfield.
I mean, Jason is a professional comedian, a professional actor, has hosted television shows. And then you got Brad coming on afterward. It's got like the, what's that March of the Baby Elephant? No, I'm just kidding.
But Jason's got great hair too. Yeah, I mean, Jason's got it all going on.
He's the full package. Yep, absolutely.
Then I get up there and it's
As a friend who did not get asked to be up on stage, I will say that I was proud of you. You were very funny and very charming on stage and your presentation was delightful. So I will make you feel better about that. You were great.
I got to say something that I was really happy I got a chance to say because the one award out of the two, I awarded the national or the newspaper panel. And that went to Dave Blazek, who I've got tons of respect and love for. He's just another one Dave's of these people that is a wonderful guy. He's been on the show in the past. But then the next category was online cartoons short form. And of course, that's very near and dear to both of our hearts. And so I was able to say in my little preamble, you know, this is not just a comic that's on the web. That is not what we're talking about here. You know, a syndicated cartoonist whose work is on Go Comics, that does not make you a webcomic, at least not in my mind. But these are people whose bread and butter is online. And if they're putting out a comic on Tuesday, they can't count on the funny pages where the person read Monday's comic. Right. And that person might not read them again until a week from Wednesday. They're at the whim of algorithms and platforms and, you know, policy updates. And yet they still find a way to do amazing work. And the three people who were nominated were all fantastic at it, including our friend Sarah Anderson, who we've had on the show. But and I was also thrilled to be able to hand the award to Reza Farismond, who does poorly drawn lines.
So good.
Loved that person's work for such a long time.
Yeah.
And also
it was also a damn delight. We got a chance to meet him afterward, and afterward, but also just a damn delight. We have to ask him on the show as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, the way you framed it was really nice because so much of the online stuff in the years past, like 15 years ago, not now, but like 15 years ago, was like, oh, yeah. And then there's these kids and here they, you know, and now it's like, no, it is damn hard to do what Reza does. It is damn hard to do what Sarah does. And by the way, they've built an audience far larger than a lot of cartoons. So I was really happy to see Reza get the prize because, my God, such worthy work and so damn funny and was just a delightful human being.
Yeah. I got to say, I don't know about your travel experience. I took Amtrak, and even though I was super cheap, I took the Northeast Regional, which meant it took me, I think, about 6 hours to get to
Does
Boston.
The Northeast Regional also include sheep on board? Is that
I think
cheaper?
There was, I heard a few sheep. there was a lot of, listen, if they let me on, they'll let anybody on, but it was... But it was also very enjoyable. I caught up on my napping.
But you got to travel home with Will Henry, though, right? An amazing cartoonist out of Rhode Island.
Yeah, and you got some original art out of Will, too, did you not?
I did get some Will original art. And Will, by the way, as far as line quality and just joy of that comes across, Wallace the Brave from Will is one of the most beautiful expressions of individual style that has appeared on the newspaper page. And honestly, Will, Tahid, Dana, the crop that's coming up either with or just below us, let's be honest, probably just below us age-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, just incredible talent and incredible styles. And I was happy to see all three of them nominated for... I mean, all six of the nominees for the Rubens were amazing this year.
They were all great. Well, as soon as you start name dropping, you feel bad about the people you're leaving out.
I know. That's why I was like, honestly, all six would have been amazing.
We had fantastic conversations with Tahid. We had fantastic. It was really great catching up with Dana. It was.
Seemed really joy filled this year, by the way, didn't she?
Well,
Dana
yeah.
seemed like she really enjoyed the Rubens, and I was very happy to see it.
It was kind of that was fun. That made my heart
deserves
full.
All the good things coming her way. Yeah, absolutely.
But we were sitting there at breakfast, and Will and I realized we're on the same train, and he goes, "Do you want to head down there together?" And I'm like, "Yes, I do," because I have no sense of direction. This is less chances that I'm going to get lost. And also, it was kind of mutual because. Just on a side note, speaking of the Comic Lab social media challenge, Will uses a flip phone. He said he got rid of his smartphone.
Yes.
He took out this flip phone.
And the screen broke on it.
Yeah. So he can't even see who's calling. Texting is impossible on it. He says he gets in less. This is what he said. Gets in less fights with his wife because everything on a text sounds meaner than it is. And so texting, he says, we're not texting. He says it's been a huge improvement, but he looked at you and he said, there's a lot of people from my generation doing this. In terms of his
football. He did. No, don't you dare say it that way. There's
right
a lot
at you.
Of people from my generation. Don't you, you're being mean to me right now. Yes, there's a lot of gray in my beard, my generation.
No, but we, so.
I have vim and vigor. I'm still spry. I'm like the grandfather in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory getting out of the bed going, I can move.
That's the whole scene always grossed me out. So the one thing he did say is that he had to print out MapQuest directions. Either that or it was a punchline. But we walked over to the Amtrak station, found the right train, and we had the best conversation. You ever have one of those conversations that there is no dead air? It's just one conversation, topic leads into the next. We talked for, I don't know how long it took from Boston to Rhode Island. It was more than an hour. And we could have talked for another 6 hours. In fact, I tried to convince him to come the rest of the way to Philadelphia and just take a lift back to Rhode Island, but he wasn't having it. We had the best conversation.
Well, then we got to get Will on the show. I would love to have Will on the show. That would be a delight. I will say Will was very kind, giving out sketches that last morning. It was kind of a lovely sketch off, by the way.
Yeah.
That last morning of
Comic-Con. Yeah, it really was.
I was going to say Comic-Con, but of the NCS Rubin weekend. Everybody was just sketching for everybody, and it was really delightful how much beautiful artwork is being passed around. But I'm so glad that your Amtrak was successful because, Brad, I'm a West Coaster.
Yeah.
And so this will make no sense to the East Coast listeners, but on the West Coast, there is basically one Amtrak, and it goes from the border of Mexico to the border of Canada, and it is a big-ass train, and you cannot miss it, and that's basically what Amtrak's presence is on the West Coast. On the East Coast, there's like 9 tiers of Amtrak that go all over the place. Yeah. Because there's all these interconnected cities. They're basically one day travel apart from each other by horse. And so Amtrak has all these wonderful access ways that they own and control. And so the trains are fast. You've got the Acela. You got all these regionals. You've got the commuter ones. So Dave Kellett gets off at Logan Airport, Brad, and I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to take public transport. And because I was really excited. I love public transport. Having lived in London for 2 years, I'm like, no, I want to take a train. So I get off the plane and I look on my phone, $22. Uber could have had me to my hotel in 15 minutes.
Oh my God.
Brad, I got so GD turned around between getting on the wrong Amtrak commuter train, getting on the wrong Boston Metro train, getting on the wrong Amtrak regional.
Uh-huh.
It took me 75 minutes and 3 train stations to get to where I was trying to go. Your friend is an idiot, Brad, is an idiot when it comes to trains.
I was going to ask you, when it came time to fly home, did you take the train or
an Uber. I took an Uber back to Logan.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. And besides, I mean, you hadn't quite got used to, East Coast time. Your circadian rhythms were probably still completely screwed up.
Oh, yeah. I was out of whack and I had to fly. I had to leave my house at 4:30 a.m. to get to Boston. By the way, circadian rhythms. Let's talk about the circadian rhythm between Brad and I, because we're sharing a hotel room. And Brad, being 72, 73 years old now, he goes to bed right at 9 p.m. on the dot. Right at 9 p.m. Like, there was a night, Brad, honest to God, I was telling you a story. We're doing the thing where we're in bed because Brad's like, listen, I got to give up the ghost. I'm tired. And so Brad's in his bed. I'm in my bed. We're tucked away. The lights are off. But I'm telling him a story.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I realized this son of a bitch is snoring in the middle of my story. door. And I go, well, I guess that's the end of that story. You just straight up fell asleep every night that we were there.
And meanwhile, you know, I'm up and my eyes pop open at 6:30, no matter what. I can't sleep past that. And I'm like, I told him that the first night, I'm going to be awake at 6:30. I'm just going to go and get breakfast. I'm going to and Dave's like, no, wake me up. I'll go to breakfast with you. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to wake you up. There's no need to wake you up. Take the sleep that you need. Have a nice day. And I'm just going to go get breakfast. And then I went, got breakfast. And that's how I found the place that I took you and Greg to. I had breakfast there earlier that day.
He's doing the time. He's taking the time to scout out award-winning five-star restaurants in Boston that smell like bleach. Yeah. So I appreciated that.
And then I'd come home by like 7:30, 8 o'clock, open up the door.
By that point, I'm in the shower going, boots on the china, never met him before. Oh, well.
Oh my gosh. And then he'd come out of the shower and I'd just take one look at him over my glasses and I'd say, you've been listening to Comic Lab, the show about making comics and making a living from comics.
Your Rubin Award-winning presenter, my friend Brad Geiger, the editor of webcomics.com and the creator of Evil Inc. at evilcomic.com, and the handsome co-host of the fantastic new drawing show that I highly recommend over at wrongwayshow.com. That's wrongwayshow.com.
And my close personal friend and someone who maybe you'll see presenting someday. Dave Kellett, the co-director of the comics documentary Stripped and the cartoonist of Sheldon at sheldoncomics.com and Drive at drivecomic.com, and another wonderful co-host of our new drawing show along with Kevin McShane at wrongwayshow.com.
And the Comic Lab theme song is used with permission from Andy Creighton at theworldrecord.net. And this episode and all episodes was edited by the ever-wonderful Matt Woodard of Woodsong Productions over at www.woodsong.media.
If you love Comic Lab, and listen, if you love Comic Lab, take a second, go to the show notes, consider becoming a member of the NCS, because we want to see you out in Columbus next year. It's so much fun, and we're going to love welcoming you like we welcomed all of those people last week as new members of the NCS. But after you do that, then head on over and rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. You may hear your review featured on a future episode. And don't forget to give us a 5-star review on Spotify, where we are burning up the podcast charts.
And Comic Lab is made possible by your support at patreon.com/comiclab. So we will go ahead and say that twice, patreon.com/comiclab.
Tiny bobbers. In my nose.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah, tiny bobbers. Garden hose. Tiny bobbers everywhere. Tiny bobbers underwear.